am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, it is a light unto our path. Thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. So Lord, as we come today, Holy Spirit, breathe on what is said. Bring conviction, bring encouragement, bring strength, and bring revelation. And we thank you ahead of time for taking that word as it is sown in our hearts, produce seed, and eventually produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold of manifestation in our lives. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for what only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name, can everybody say amen, amen, amen. God bless you this morning. Today, I'm actually doing something that I can't remember if I've ever done before. When you've done this for over 20 years, you wonder if you've done it before. But I don't remember actually starting a new series at the end of a month. So I'm actually starting a new series today, and it's entitled Generational Generosity. Everybody say generational generosity. Now, this teaching has four purposes, and so one of the reasons I'm starting the series today is because next week I have a surprise for you that you don't want to miss. As a matter of fact, next week I would invite someone to church because it is going to be a blessing to you. So there are four things that I want to see happen from this series. Here's the first thing. I want to help us embrace the biblical purpose of generosity. Everybody say, the biblical purpose for generosity. The second thing I want us to get out of this is to help us understand the generational impact of generosity. Everybody say, the generational impact of generosity. The third thing I want to see happen is, hopefully, as I teach, it will provide you with some revelation on how generosity can greatly bless your life. And then number four, I'm hoping to prepare you and challenge you as a church to be generous on our annual giving day, which is coming up on March the 29th. Let me just say two things before I get into the message. The first one is I usually take about 10% of the year and teach on giving and receiving. You say, well, 10%. There are 52 weeks in a year, so that's 5.2 weeks. In this case, I'm going to round up. So I'm going to take about 6 weeks, and it's not going to be all me those 6 weeks, but that's what's going to happen. And I do that because in order for you to receive, you have to hear. Now, the second thing I want to say is for those of you who already know maybe some of the things that I'm going to teach today, I want you to take this opportunity to get refueled. Everybody say refueled. Refueled. When you use the gas in your car and your tank starts getting low, you don't continue to just ride around, because if you do that, what's going to happen? You're going to run out of gas. Well, faith is no different. That's why it says faith comes by hearing, which means that faith will stop when you don't hear. That's why you and I have to hear faith, especially faith when it comes to giving and receiving, because you can only have faith for what you hear. Say amen to that. And sometimes if we don't hear faith when it comes to this area that I'm going to be talking about, what can happen is you'll keep giving, but you'll stop giving by faith, and you'll start giving by faithfulness. You say, well, what's the difference? Giving by faith means that I have an expectation that God's going to fulfill his part of the promise as I exercise the principle. When you give out of faithfulness, that means you're giving out of routine and you're not even paying attention to what you're doing. You know, sometimes you can go home by routine. You're not even figuring out how many lights you stopped at. Why? Because you know the routine. Well, when you stop hearing, faith stops coming. Everybody say, when I stop hearing, faith stops coming. And in the natural, you don't keep driving your car, because if so, it's either going to stop or you're going to ride on fumes. Well, some of you all are riding on faith fumes right now. So I want to fuel you up. So I really am wanting to get our church to new levels when it comes to their faith and their giving. You know, it's interesting. There are at least two millionaires that I know that got birthed inside of our church, right? And talking to both of them, what's interesting, they both had the same two different sets of people. They had the same mentality, which was, Pastor, I have realized that when I obey God and I give His way, I can never outgive Him. And I thought, wow, that was interesting, because I've been praying for years for somebody to beat me giving, and they've already surfaced, praise the Lord. I ain't mad about it. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't mad about it. Amen. Amen. So, personally, I don't just sow what I want to grow, but I also sow where I want to go. You say, well, what's the difference? When you sow what you want to grow, that just means if a farmer wants strawberries, what is he going to plant? Strawberries. Okay, so I don't just sow what I want to grow, but I also sow where I want to go. And this is why I have learned to not just sow down. Sowing down is just helping people. Those are, you know, helping people that are in need, helping the poor. We do that, right? But I'm also talking about sowing where I want to go. You know, we were at a conference this week, and the Lord led me to give the pastor a considerable seed. Amen. And some of you are going to have to learn how to sow up. Everybody say sow up. Sow up. So here's my first point. I'm going to jump into this, and I have one guarantee that I'm going to make you this morning. Here's the guarantee. I'm going to offend somebody. So just look at your neighbor and say, he's going to offend somebody. Yeah, I am. But it's not really me offending you. It's going to be the word, because the word is going to be good today. So let's jump in real fast. Here's the first point. In fact, if you need the notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes. If you're following us online, find the link and you can download the notes as. All right. So I was thinking, having two thoughts at one time. We actually had our first member that I'm aware of that found us through the Bible app. They actually found our church. Yes, give them a hand clap. Give the Bible app a big hand clap. They found our church through the YouVersion Bible app. The Bible app referred us. They came and they got they joined and they connected to the church. So anyway, here's our first point. Generosity can impact generations. Everybody say, generosity can impact generations. Proverbs 13:22 in the King James says, a good man, what kind of man? A good man leaves a lot of bills to his children's children. It don't say that, do it? Yeah, but that's what happens in our community. We're leaving bills. He says, a good man leaves an inheritance to who? His children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Look at Proverbs. Look at that in the New Living Translation. Good people leave an inheritance to their who? Their grandchildren. But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Everybody say, generosity can impact generations. Now, sometimes I think we forget that God is a generational God. And that's why when we read the Bible, you will hear the phrase, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and who else? Jacob. And see, church, whenever God blesses, he always has more than you in mind. Many times when we are desiring the blessings of the Lord, we're desiring them for us. But God has more than you and I in mind when he does. So I'm going to read Numbers 33, and I'm only reading it to show you how God wants us to leave an inheritance for not just us, but our children's children. Numbers 33:50. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan near Jericho. He said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, which, by the way, was the promised land, he says, then shall you drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. When you get there, I want you to destroy all their pictures. Some of you all need to destroy some pictures of exes. Just while you got them. Mm-hmm. Destroy all the pictures. Even the prom ones. When you know, you got your prom picture up there with the big wicked, that wicker chair. Destroy that. Destroy all the pictures. And destroy all their molten images. Those were idols. Those were things that reminded the people of things. And some of you all, if you've been engaged, woman of God, and you didn't marry the person and you kept the ring, why are you keeping the ring? Melt down the molten image. That was random, wasn't it? It's like, what does that got to do with generational generosity? Nothing. He says, bring all and destroy all the pictures, destroy all the molten images, and bring down all the high places. And then he says, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. And this is one of the reasons why we do house blessings. Even if the house is new, we do it. But then houses that have someone else has moved in, we do house blessings to dispossess who might have had a possessing in that, right? It says, and then he says, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell there, for I have given you, listen to the promise, I have given you the land to possess it. And then once I've given you the land, he says, then you shall divide the land by lot for a what, church? For an inheritance among your families. And to the ones who have more, you're going to give them more inheritance. And to those who have few or less, you're going to give them less inheritance. Every man's inheritance. Notice the context of his inheritance. Notice he says every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falls. According to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit. So I just want you to notice here that God expected families to leave inheritances after he blessed them. Say amen to that. In 1 Chronicles 29, and you don't have to turn there, but that's when David gave a huge offering that was over and above his normal giving. He gave it, watch this, to build the temple. But I want you to notice something. David gave all that money to build the temple that his son Solomon was going to build, but David wasn't alive to even see the temple. Sometimes, listen, what you are leaving, that legacy, the person who's enjoying it may not ever know who you were. Everybody say, that's an inheritance. Amen. And so there are several ways that generosity can impact people and better generations. And so I'm not going to focus on a lot of them, but I do want to focus on two of them. Okay. And the first one, you know, because I'm coming from not just natural, but I'm also talking about kingdom. And so from a kingdom standpoint, generosity can produce two types of fruit. The first one is natural fruit, and I'll explain. The second one is spiritual fruit. Now, natural fruit includes physically being a blessing to people. You know, you may bless a homeless person with food, or you may have helped produce shelter or whatever. But did you know, I'm about to give you a real statistic. Did you know that in 2023 and 2024 combined, both years, Word of Truth Family Church gave away over $1 million to help those in need? We gave away over $1 million to help those in need. We used that money also to financially assist our body here. We also used that money to help plant other churches and financially sow into churches, ministries, and organizations, because all churches don't do as well as us. Say amen to that. Amen. But that's natural fruit. But then generosity also produces spiritual fruit. Everybody say spiritual fruit. Last year, 2025, listen to this now, Word of Truth Family Church documented 871 salvations. Come on, clap a little better there. Clap just a little bit better. You know, we're so used to that's in our church, you know. But you know, you didn't see that growing up. You know, growing up, they put one chair out and they say, is there one? How many remember that? Anybody remember that? Yeah. Is there one? All right. And we get so used to it. But I guarantee you, if you ask your friend or a relative, hey, did you all get 871 salvations in your church last year? Most churches don't even have 871 people. But here's what I'm grateful for. That 871 documented salvation is a result, watch this, church, of your generosity. Can you give yourselves a big hand clap for that as well? So generosity is not just about money. It's also about multiplication, because you can do more if you have more. Everybody say, I can do more if I have more. When we give to God's house, we are not just making a donation, church. We are making kingdom deposits. Everybody say, kingdom deposits. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 in the ESV, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where, church? Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there is where you will find your heart. And this is why it's so easy for a person to leave a church, because they have no treasure there. This is why it's so easy for a person to leave a relationship, because they've stopped making deposits in it. Amen. Listen, if you go to a church and you're not giving to it, it's easy to walk away. And that's the problem. You know what? They say an empty wagon makes the most noise. Have y'all ever heard that? Right. And so typically people who haven't made a deposit, it's easy for them to leave. But here's the problem. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to tell you a problem now. Here's the problem with most people. They see generosity as a payment instead of a seed. See, farmers never let the cost of a seed stop them from sowing, because they know from their sowing a harvest is going to happen. Here's a take-home statement. What you release today, God multiplies tomorrow. The scripture says in the book of Genesis, there's going to be, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. And so what you and I release today, God will multiply tomorrow, which brings us now to my second point, which is generosity begins, watch this, where the tithe ends. I'm going to say that again. Generosity begins where the tithe ends. Everybody say this with me. Say, generosity begins where the tithe ends. Okay, let me say it this way. Sowing starts when owing stops. I'm going to say that again. Sowing starts, in other words, generosity starts, giving starts. Sowing starts when owing stops. You say, what do you mean by that? See, because most people have been taught wrong. Most people think, listen, that tithing is giving when tithing is actually returning. Now, we're going to read the verse that Pastor Polo said every person at Word of Truth ought to know. You ought to know John 3:16. You ought to know Romans 10:9. And you ought to know Malachi 3. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified, I'm going to read it because I want to point some things out about this. Because you got to shift your mindset. Because if you think that tithing is giving, that's why to you it's an option. Because you can only give what's yours. You can't give away what belongs to somebody else, right? So anytime we think that tithing is giving, then because I'm giving something that belongs to me, it's an option of whether I do it. But that's not the case. He says in Malachi, for the Lord is talking, he says, for I'm the Lord, I do not change, but remain faithful to my covenant with you. And that is why you, O sons of Jacob, have not come to an end. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have turned away from my statutes and my ordinances, and you haven't kept them. Watch what God says. He says, return to me. Everybody say, return. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Then he says, will a man rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in what? tithes and offerings because you have withheld them. Now, let me just point out something that I said in the first service that I heard Pastor Polo say a long time ago. Notice that the King James uses the word rob, because there's a difference between someone who's a robber and someone who's a burglar. Now, a burglar is a person who sneaks in at night and breaks into your place, and they don't want you to know that they're there. How many know? How many know what I'm talking about? How many been a burglar before? Let me see it. You're not going to raise your hand like, well, I ain't raising my hand. I don't want them to know that I'm stealing. Praise the Lord. Burglars do it at night, but people who rob will do it in broad daylight and put the gun right up to you and say, stick them up. Well, God is saying, return to me. And you say, well, how do I return to you? He says, will a man stick me up? So look at your neighbor and say, are you sticking God up? Go on and ask him. Well, a man robbed God. He says, yeah, you have robbed me. But say, how have we robbed you? He says, in tithe and offerings, you have withheld. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation. Watch what he says here. He says, bring all the tithe, which is the tenth, to where? Storehouse. Listen. I'm helping somebody. You don't split your tithe up. I'm going to tithe to this church and this ministry. And that's no. You bring the tithe into the storehouse. You can give offering everywhere else, but he said bring the tithe to the storehouse, not your mama's house, not your cousin's house, but his house. But I'm a tithe to my favorite ministry. No, that's not what it says. If that's not the storehouse where you get fed and where you are planted, you shouldn't be giving your tithe there. Amen. So if you're watching online and you are a member of another church, but you watch us, don't bring your tithe here. You tithe at the church that you are a member of, and you give offering here. Amen. Listen, either you're going to do it God's way or don't do it. Here's the thing. If I do it God's way, I'm guaranteed God results. Amen. So he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there is meat or food in my house. And then watch what he says. He says, test me in this, says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. Now, let me point something out before I keep going. If God is the one that opens this window for blessings to come out, he's also the one to close it. You know, sometimes we're going through hard times and we think it's the devil. It's really God has closed the door. He's closed the window. You didn't like that. Let me read verse 11. Then I will rebuke the devourer. Listen to what the Lord says. When we bring the tithe, he says, I will rebuke who? The devourer. The insects, the plagues for your sake, this devourer will not destroy the fruits of your ground. And he will, watch this, nor will your vine in the field drop its grapes before its harvest time, says the Lord. Now, let me just point something out, too. If God is the one who rebukes the devourer, he's also the one to stop rebuking the devourer. Then he says, all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord. So, listen. So when you and I, when we return, say return. When you and I return the tithe, because you only return what's not yours. Listen, God uses that act of obedience to produce what I'm going to call financial insurance. Now, how many got a car? Let me see your hand. Anybody got a car? All right, good. Now, how many got insurance on that car? Hopefully everybody raised their hand on that one too. Because that's a law in Texas. You need to have your car insured. Right? Well, that insurance that you have on your car, listen, church, does not guarantee that you won't get in an accident. But what it does, it guarantees that they will pay for the incident if it happens. Well, financial insurance is the same way. Listen, tithing does not guarantee something won't happen, but what it does guarantee, God will supply if it happens. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Because tithing is not giving, it's returning. In fact, say tithing is not giving, it's returning. Remember in Malachi, he says, return to me. So How many have rented a car before? Raise your hand if you rented a car, right? Now, how many have rented a car that was better than the car you had? Amen. Oh, I used to do that all the time. That's called dreaming. I sure would. And lean in the car like it was mine. Hey, here we go. Woo, that got look good, that car. It ain't mine, it's rented. Praise God. So when you rented this car, let's say you were in town for a week and you renting that car and you driving that car and you enjoying that car. Let's say you rented a Maserati because you like to go fast. Ricky Bobby. I want to go fast. I want to go fast. I want to go fast. So you driving that Maserati all week and you are enjoying that car so much, Waquita. You enjoying that car, right? Because she already got a nice car. Praise the Lord. You're enjoying that car, and then you decide, I'm going to keep this car. And you never take it back to Hertz. Can I tell you something? If you don't take it back to Hertz, that's going to hurt. Because they're going to find a secure place for you. It's called jail. You know why? Because you are a thief because you did not do what? Return the vehicle. Why did you need to return the vehicle? Because it was not. Hello. Here's a take-home statement. You give what's yours, you return what's not. Tithing is returning, it's not giving. And that's why you don't have an option to do it. You're returning. And here's the problem. When you and I don't return to God what's his, he can no longer trust us financially. Giving starts after the tithe is given. Everybody say giving starts when the tithe is given. Listen, church, God can't grow what you don't sow. And I know, you know, I'm about to, here come where some of the fence is going to come from. And you got to understand, when I'm talking to y'all, you know, I'm not just talking to y'all. I'm talking to a whole world, the internet out there, right? So I know this is going to circulate. So what I'm about to say is there are lots of people going to have a problem with it. So, you know, there are people out there that are saying, you know, tithing is of the law. It's the Old Testament. We don't have to do that no more. Jesus fulfilled the law. Well, did you know that the giving of the first, we're going to start with that, actually started before the law with the first two people that Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel. They're the first ones that started, watch this now, this trend where God expected them to give the first. Now, Abel did it and Cain didn't, and that's why Cain got upset. And this is why, listen, oh, Jesus, Lord, help me communicate what I'm about to say. This is why Cain killed Abel. Because if your heart to give to God ain't right, it opens up other doors of sin in your life. But the first, or giving of the first, started with Cain and Abel. But did you know tithing didn't start in the law? It started first with Abraham. And Abraham was there long before the law. Remember now, Abraham's there. He tithed for the first time. The law came with Moses. So here it is. Abraham's the first one that did the tithe. And you know who he gave the tithe to? He gave it to a man named Melchizedek. Now, don't name your kids that. Okay, I don't even know how to spell it. I had to copy and paste it in my notes. I don't know how to spell Melchizedek. Well, Abraham gave a tenth of the spoil to this man named Melchizedek. And then tithing was so important to God that he took that practice that Abraham did, he took that practice that Jacob did, and he incorporated it into the law because he wanted them to keep doing it. And you say, well, what that got to do with us? This is the New Testament. You know, that's the Old Testament. Okay, hold on. Slow your roll. Pump your brakes. Don't show your ignorance, okay? Watch this. Did you know that when Abraham gave this tithe to this man named Melchizedek, Melchizedek was the first priest mentioned in the Bible. Priests represented the order of God. So do you know that in the New Testament, do you know who replaced Melchizedek as a successor? Jesus did. Now, I can give you 5, 6, 7, 8 verses about that, but let's just look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. I'm only doing this for those who think they know and they don't know. I'm just educating them. Hebrews 5:5, it says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to be made a high priest. But he that said unto him, this was God saying, talking, he says, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Watch verse 6. And he also said in another place about Jesus, he says, you are a priest for how long? Come on, church. He says, you are a priest forever after the order or the succession of Melchizedek. In other words, I'm showing you that Jesus took the place of Melchizedek. He continued that ministry as the high priest. Well, who did Abraham give that tithe to? Melchizedek. So who do you think we give our tithe to? Jesus. Now, I know some of y'all going, I don't know about all that. Well, let's just end the debate. Let me end the debate, and then we're going to keep going here. Let's just end it. Let's end with some questions. Here's the first question. Is thou shalt not steal still good today? If it's still good, raise your hand. If it's still good. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, listen, go steal, and we'll see. We don't have a prison ministry, but we can help you. Thou shalt not steal is still good today. Here's another question. Is thou shalt not commit adultery still good today? Listen, those were part of the Ten Commandments. They're still good today. Even though some people don't think thou shalt not commit adultery is not good because you're doing it. Stop. So let me ask you a question. Let's say your kid was doing something you did not want them to do. Are y'all following me? Let's say you got a kid and they were doing something you didn't want them to do. How would you get them to stop doing it? You would tell them, hey, listen, I need you to stop doing this, right? Would you do that? Okay, so watch this now. I have not read in the Bible, and you can find it and send it to me, but I have not read from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible anywhere where God said, stop tithing. Boy, it's quiet in here. It's quiet. So if he didn't say stop, what do you think that means? Keep it pushing. So listen, this is why the devil fights people on this issue, because he already knows there's a blessing that comes with it. Amen. He knows, and that's why he fights us. And this is why, see, God sees the first as holy. Romans chapter 11, verse 16 says, for if the first fruit, what you give first, be holy, then the whole lump becomes holy. Leviticus 27:26 says, but a firstborn, everybody say a firstborn. A firstborn of animals, which is a firstborn, it belongs to who, church? It belongs to the Lord. So if the firstborn belongs to the Lord, then when the second one comes and the third come, he's okay with that being yours. He said, but the first one belongs to the Lord. He said, whether it's an ox or a sheep. Now, what's interesting is God is referencing this because it goes back to Cain and Abel. Remember, Cain was a tiller of the ground and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. And so he's saying, listen, if it's a sheep or if it's an ox, when the first one comes, whose is it? It belongs to the Lord. Listen now, Leviticus 27:30, because it talks to us about Cain. And all the tithe of the land, whether it's the seed of the land or whether it comes from the fruit of the tree, whose is it? It's the Lord and it's holy. So now I want to point something out to you, okay? I got 5 men that's going to come up here. Y'all clap for them when they come. Clap, clap, clap. Because I want to demonstrate this. I want to demonstrate, because I think it'll help us get a visual. Because, you know, visuals are good. You know, I did better reading books when they had pictures in them. All right? So here we go. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Once I point to you, I want y'all to say it. All right? What is this? Phone bill. What is this? Grocery. What is this? The Lord. What is this? Mortgage. What is this? Daycare. So let's say you got paid $1,000 this week. What is a tithe of $1,000? $100. So I got $100 here, but I also have some other money here, okay? So I got paid. My tithe is what? $100. So, oh man, I got to pay my daycare. They're going to kick my kid out. Here we go, all right. Ooh, also, ooh, I need to pay my phone bill because... T-Mobile about to cut me off. Grocery, oof. I got My kid is hungry. Oh, the Lord. Oh. Here's the Lord. Here's your $100, Lord. Thank you. And then here's my mortgage payment. Now, you say, well, Pastor, that's good. That's not good. Now, see, here's the difference. I'm helping somebody right now, because if you just switch the order, you'll see some increase come. Most people do what I just did. Watch this. They gave a tenth to the Lord, but they didn't do it first. Did you see that? No. God's like Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. Okay? So we gave him a tenth. But this is how you can give a tenth and not give it first. But the scripture says the first one is what? So I done gave my money to somebody, the holy money. I done gave it to the phone bill people. And you only give the tenth first to somebody who can bless you. So let me give y'all, give me my money back. Give me that. Give me this. Give me this. Give me this. Give me this. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, this is what should have happened. What's a tithe of $1,000? $100. So who should I give to first? The Lord. Switch places with somebody, Lord. So it don't matter where the Lord is on this. What matters is if whatever comes out first belongs to who? Okay, so here you go, Lord. And so watch this now. As I begin to pay other things, and let's say now it looks like I'm coming up short, God is obligated at that point to supply all of my need, because he's supposed to do that, because I've honored him with the first. Thank you very much. Where's my money at? Oh, yeah, y'all get a hand, the me and a big hand clap. Y'all get a, thank y'all. There's my clock. Praise the Lord. Remember, here's the point. Generosity begins where tithing ends. And that means after you and I return the tithe, giving starts now when I give offering. These two things, when they are done, causes God to operate at a supernatural level, which closes now. We're going to close on point three, which is biblical giving causes financial momentum. Everybody say biblical giving. I ain't talking about what your mama taught you growing up. Look at your neighbor and say, is he talking about your mama? I ain't talking about what your mama taught you, because your mama may not taught you right. I'm not talking about what you was taught at Sunday school. I'm talking about what the word says. And biblical giving causes financial momentum. Now, I do want to testify, but I don't have the time. But I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, can y'all, how many will give me five more minutes? Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. All right, so check this out. Years ago, see, I used to be an avid tither. Okay, I learned it from my dad. I used to watch my dad tithe, so he taught me how to tithe. So that was something that I did, and I was one of those very verbatim tithers. In other words, my tithe was like $36.37. You know, I just didn't round up. I should have just rounded up. I got to put out all these numbers, and but anyway. So I was a tither. And I gave offering, but offering didn't have significance to me. I didn't realize that tithing was returning, and offering is really when my giving started. So anyway, I was at a church service one evening, and some of y'all know this and some of y'all don't, but this is years ago. And the reason I tell this exact same story is because this is the first time the revelation of giving offering hit me. So I'm in a church service. The lady was preaching. She was an evangelist. She's passed away now. She did a great job. And after she got through preaching, she started raising an offering. And she says, some of y'all in here, God wants you to give $1,000. And I was looking like, that ain't me. So I'm looking down my row to see who's going to do it, because I'm not going to do it. I'm like, maybe Kim going to do it. Maybe Free going to do it. Maybe Pastor Marty Ma going to do it. But I ain't doing it. I was like, $1,000? See, I was waiting for her to come down to $100, because that's the most I've ever done in an offering. $100? So then she came down to $500. And I'm thinking, that ain't me. I'm waiting for her to see who going to give it on my row, because I ain't going to do it. Because at that time, I was 7 days away from buying my first house. So I'm already scrunching for money. You know, you're trying to find here, find that. If you don't buy a house, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, she stayed on that 500 for a while. Then she starts coming down off the stage, talking about that $500. Now, let me see who followed. Let's say Bruce was me. She starts coming way over here, starts walking toward me. Now, you got to understand, there's a whole room of people. She looked like she's coming toward me. And you know, when something is happening that you don't believe is happening, it switches in slow motion. So I'm watching her walk in slow motion toward me. And not only am I thinking slow motion, I'm hearing slow motion because I'm saying to myself, the devil is alive. She got over here into me. She said, man of God, if you'll give that money, God will bless you. And I'm thinking, this lady is crazy. I wasn't even thinking about the Lord. I was like, she ain't getting this money. So anyway, she was like, man of God, if you'll give that money, God is going to bless you for it. Write down on the envelope everything you want God to do. And I'm thinking, this is a game right here. You ain't going to get me, though. You ain't going to get me. And so while she's talking, the Lord speaks to me and says, Eben, give the money. You have to understand, this is the first time I've ever given $500 in my life. I did it fear and trembling. They probably didn't understand that check that I wrote out because I was so nervous when I wrote $500. I gave that money. And I was mad the rest of the night. I was. I know the Lord loves a cheerful giver, but he don't hate an uncheerful one. Because I was not cheerful that day. I was mad at the Lord. I was mad at the Lord. I got a house to buy in 7 days, and now you just shorted me another $500. The next day comes around. I'm in church again. It was a two-day revival. Notice we don't have those. That's a lot of church for your pastor. So I'm in church and my beeper goes off. This is back in the day. Beeper go off. I look at the number. I know it's a mortgage company. I tiptoe out of church, put my finger up and everything. I go and I call on my cell phone, which was one of those big old, hello. I call and they said, well, Mr. Connor, we're sorry, but you know, now they done had my file about 4 or 5 months. Right, we closing in 6 days now. We're sorry, Mr. Connor, that but your debt ratio is out of whack, and so in order for you to get the house and qualify for it, you're gonna have to pay off one of your school loans. Now I'm mad at them. I'm mad at the Lord. Now I'm mad at them. I'm like, well, which one of these school loans? Because you know, just pick one. I had several. It was $2,500. Now I'm like, what? Now I gotta get $2,500. The Lord done made me give $500. I'm three grand in the hole. And the Lord said, Eben, I knew you were going to be short. You cannot expect a harvest from a seed you haven't sown. And that's why I had you to sow that money, because I knew you was going to need some money. And you have to understand, this was my first time. Long story short, God blessed me with the money to close. But the big thing was, a relative after closing the next day wired $20,000 out of nowhere. So here's some promises of generosity. I'm almost done here. Proverbs 11:17, the Amplified says, the merciful and the generous man benefits his soul because his behavior returns to bless him. In other words, what he does blesses him. Proverbs 22:9 in the Amplified says, he who is generous will be what, church? Will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Here's the third one. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, now remember this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. We're talking about offering now. He who sows sparingly or little shall reap how little. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a what kind of giver? a cheerful giver, and he delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. And God, after you and I give, he is able to make all grace, which is every favor and earthly blessing, come, we saw that in the story, come in abundance to you so that you may always, everybody say always, always under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and having an abundance for every good work and act of charity. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul, what kind of soul? The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he who waters shall himself be watered. So church, listen as I close. Sowing opens the door for increase. And it closes the door to lack. I'm going to say that again. Sowing opens the door for increase, but it also closes the door for lack. See, when you give, two things are happening. The first thing that's happening is it's opening the door for increase, but it's also closing the door to lack. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, then says the Lord to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gate of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, hey, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called her and says, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. She had that Crisco can sitting there on the stove. How many know about that Crisco can with that bacon juice in it? Yeah. She says, I only have a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug, and I was gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I, we are going to die. But Elijah said to her that I'm saying to you today, church, he said, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do what you just said, but make a little bread for me first, and then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says, there will always, say always, listen, giving will always have you to have always. He said, always, you will always be, there will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did what Elijah said. She obeyed the man of God. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for how many days? Many days. And there was always, everybody say always. There was always enough flour and oil left in the containers just as the Lord had. I've never seen a broke giving person. Let me say this to you, church. If giving doesn't work, what makes you think salvation's going to work? Let me say this to you. Inconsistent giving will eventually produce inconsistent living. Listen, you show me a farmer who sows or plants seed every now and then, and I'll show you a farmer who only gets a harvest every now and then. Here's the last one. When giving stops, life stops. So what do you mean by that? Because everything that God created, he created it to give. So let's take your heart, for example. If your heart stops doing its job and stops pumping blood to the rest of your body, you know what's going to happen to your body? Your body is going to die. Why? Because when giving stops, life stops. So how do we apply the word today? This is for some and not all. You need to return the tithe. Now, I know you were probably going, man, I did not come to church. Let me tell you something. You said, I did not come to church. Oh, man. Oh, Lord. He knew. And let me just say this. What's the whole point of coming to church and not making adjustments to your life so you can get what God has promised? Why even come? Now, you should come because faith builds up for you to do it. But today is decision day. Look at your neighbor and say, this is decision day right here. So you're going to start by returning the tithe. Here's a second one. Start giving offering, because there are some people that you're a tither, you're a faithful tither, but you're not an offering giver. And based on Malachi 3, you're still robbing. Here's number three. Expect lack and little to go when you do this. And then number four, water your giving. As you sow and as you give and as you return the tithe, water your giving with your words of faith. Don't talk negative. Don't be like, man, I'm broke as a dog. Don't do that. So I'm not going to ask you if you got anything out of the word, because I know it was a rough word. But I want you to bow your heads right there at your seat, because I'm talking to a lot of people in this room. Today is the day. I said to our men yesterday, Joshua said to everybody, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Do you know when you don't obey God in this area, then money has become your God? And there are some people in the room, you're not a tither. And then there are some of you who think you are tithers and you're not. You say, what do you mean by that? Because you are an inconsistent tither. You are every now and then tither. So in your mind, you are a tither. But I'm going to give you some criteria. If you haven't tithed for 90 days straight without missing, you're not a tither. You are sometime a tither. You're that inconsistent tither. And so I'm going to challenge, I believe the Lord is challenging you today, because there's a conviction. See, somebody's feeling like, I know that it's you, as if I went back in the back and typed in your name to see you not, I know it feels like that, but I ain't do that. That's just the Lord right there in your lap. Well, I don't want you to just let this conviction pass. I want you to do something about it. So here's what I'm going to ask in just a second. If you're here and you know you're not a tither, or you've been that inconsistent one, you can't do 90 days without stopping, some always come up. If that's you and you're ready to obey the word today, I promise you supernatural results can only take place when you obey. And if you're here and you say, Pastor Evan, I haven't been tithing. I'm not a consistent tither. I'm not that 90-day person. I'm not doing it at all. But I want to make a decision today to do it. Can I say this? Christ don't need to give you strength to do something you haven't decided to do. That's right. And so I want to challenge you. If that's you and you say, Pastor Evan, I'm ready to make that decision today. Here's why I'm asking you to raise your hand, because I'm going to get in agreement with you so that you can obey God and get God's blessings on what you're doing. If that's you and you want me to pray for you and you want me to get in agreement with you and you're ready to start today obeying God in this area, right there at your seat, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor Evan, that's me. I'm not tithing, but I'm going to start today. That word brought some conviction, but I'm also convinced that God's got better for me. Because there are some people in the room, you don't do bad. You say, well, I make six figures, Pastor, and I'm not tithing. Well, my problem with that is, how better could you be doing? What if you're supposed to be making seven figures? Keep your hand up high, hand up high, hand up high, hand up. And if your arm gets tired, just let me know and do the other hand, because I'm waiting on some people, because there's some people right now, they're calculating their bills in their head. Here's the problem with doing that. You're trying to decide what God's going to do with your shortness, but that's not your job. Your job is to obey, and his job is to supply. Keep your hand up high. Hand up high. Hand up high. You're going to go to hell. I want to give you an opportunity.